right, folks. Awesome. You're back in your seats at 8:28. Cool.
Yeah, but we're not staying very long.
Move to a drink.
Right. Then I'll start with my report, which is everybody should congratulate the Tompkins County residents and the volunteers who made the medication disposal day Saturday an amazing success. 22,000 doses of regulated medicine, 1,300 pounds, setting records for all that. Marsh had a great press release, so I just think that's worth remarking on. A week ago tomorrow, I was in Albany with Liz Thomas from the town of Ulysses. We went to participate to testify at the hearing that Senator Tony Avella, he's on the ranking member on the Environmental Conservation Committee. He held a hearing on fracking on about 19 different pieces of legislation sponsored by both Republicans and Democrats. So we testified. I sent you all my testimony. I was extremely pleased to see so many senators there at the hearing. We also had a chance to meet with Senators O'Mara, Seward, and Nozzolio that day and got some very interesting reactions from the three of them. And I can actually send you all a summary that I wrote up of what they said, which is in the order of I would say, support of our position. Nozzolio is closest to us, then Seward, then O'Mara. How about that? That's a quick summary. A couple of us were also over the weekend at the Democratic World Conference in Corning. It's a party event, and the statewide party leaders, statewide elected officials were all there, as well as many local officials and party members. Senator Sampson, Leader Sampson, came and spoke, and he said that there were four issues that were very important to the Senate, the Democratic Conference, and they were going to try to get past this session and continue to work on minimum wage, campaign finance reform, the women's reproductive rights bill that is pending in the Senate, and a fracking ban. So the Senate Democrats have taken as a position that they want to ban fracking in New York State. So they said that now Governor Cuomo, who was invited and expected, didn't come, but some of his staff were still there when he said it. There was strong applause. About almost half the room stood up when he said that, and so I hope that helped send a little bit of a message to our friend the governor. Finally, I wanted to switch gears and tell you that I'm asking the GO committee to take up a new issue this year. Actually, it's not a new issue. It's a very old issue. Back in 1996, the Charter Review Committee considered a number of things, including whether several of our elected positions should be appointed. And they decided that the Office of District Attorney should remain elective, the Office of Sheriff should be changed from elective to appointed, and in consideration as possibly a study of consolidation of police services. The most strong recommendation in this area was that the Office of County Clerk which functions basically like other appointed department heads in the county, should be changed to an appointed office. So I would like to ask the GO committee to take that up as an order of business this year to re-look at that issue. We've had a number of conversations with the county clerk, with Aurora Valenti, and with her deputy, Maureen Reynolds, and about this, so it's not a surprise to them. I fully expect they would be part of that evaluation and you know, bring also whatever information is relevant to this discussion to the committee. And my request is that we get an interim report by September. What date did I pick? An interim report by September 1st. If that's possible. I mean, you could say we're working on it. September 1st, 2012, and a final report by December 31st, 2012. I will also point out we do need to look at charter review coming up soon. So this would be one area, and this is a pretty heavy issue all by itself. So sort of making a determination on this issue would set us up to as the first step in charter review. So that's my report. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you very much. Joe Mariana, County Administrator.
Thanks, Martha. I have three things tonight. I expect to go quickly. First, just an update on the climate survey, the briefings of employees that are occurring. We wanted you to know that the fourth and final of those briefings will be happening on May 4th. So, again, this is our opportunity to brief employees on the outcome of the climate survey. Now that your budget retreat is done and behind us, we will begin to look at a department head legislative retreat because we do want to talk about next steps. Now that we have this in hand, what should we be doing next? And that'll be the topic of the next retreat, and I'll pull the planning group together to get that back on track and have a retreat sometime in the next couple of months probably. I emailed you the other night to let you know that we have brought to closure one of our two top-level searches for county managers, managers of county operations. We have selected a new highway director. In the email I sent you the other night, this is the I should never send emails after 9 o'clock. I did say in the email it was subject to your confirmation. In fact, it's not. It's an appointment. So it's not subject to legislative confirmation as a department head would. This is a division position, so it's not, but I certainly wanted to talk to you about the appointment, and I think you'll be pleased by the result of this process. Quickly, although the process wasn't quick, I'll go through it quickly. If you recall, this process began way back in November when the incumbent announced that he would be leaving county employment, and we began a process that started with the review of the job description for the highway, at that time it was called highway manager position. Went through F&I committee twice. We even had a special meeting in F&I to look at a final version of a job description, make sure that we had consensus around it, and that began the process. That was back in November. At that point, that triggered a national search for candidates that we conducted over a period of several months. We formed in that interim period a search committee to be able to look at the resumes as they came in and interview candidates. As is our way, we tried to make that search committee broadly representative of stakeholders who were involved in some way with the highway division or another. And that search committee included reps of the legislature, town highway departments, ITCTC, other physical service divisions within the county, representatives of the highway division itself, and a representative of CSEA Blue Collar on the search committee. That search committee reviewed resumes, ranked them, had four people come in for interviews in a very long all-day session. From that group, selected three as finalists, so they only went from four to three. Another full-day session of interviews with finalists. And that last day of interviews also included each of the candidates going to the highway division to talk to the employees there, to answer questions and give employees an opportunity to provide quantitative feedback to us on their preference. That included both number scores and also narrative comments. As a result of that, the search committee, in a very strong consensus, recommended that we offer the position to Jeffrey Smith, who's currently a resident of Malone, New York. Jeff, so you know, has been managing highway operations at the top level for the last 17 years. For the last 5 years, he's been what's called in the village of Malone the superintendent of public works. We would probably call it commissioner. He oversees a public works department of a relatively small municipality, but that oversees highways, wastewater, water treatment, and parks. So he has broad experience there for the last 5 years. For the 12 years before that, he ran the Franklin County Highway Department. So he has direct top-level experience as a manager of a county highway department on Franklin County. Those of you who have not been to Franklin County can get pretty brutal up in Franklin County. So he has good experience in a difficult climate. Interestingly, he began his career as an engineering technician in Santa Barbara, California, and why he moved from Santa Barbara, California to Malone, I'm sure he'll want to talk to us about when he gets here. So bottom line is 17 years at the top running a highway operation or a public works operation, dealing with legislative bodies, communities, state DOT, consultants, and so forth. He has an associate's degree from Paul Smith College up in the North Country. I think you'll find, and Carol was a part of the search committee, I think she would agree, some of you observed the interviews, I think you will find that Jeff has a really good combination of people skills and professional skills. And I think you'd agree that we need both in the person who's going to run the highway division. And I think we found it in Jeff. That certainly was the overwhelming recommendation of the search committee. He would begin work on June 4th. I will tell you that I met his family over the weekend. They're very enthusiastic about the opportunity here. They came down over the weekend so that the kids could get to know Tompkins County and Ithaca a bit more. And they're very enthusiastic about coming down here, and Jeff particularly, in taking the reins of highway. So I wanted to make you aware of that long process, difficult process. Certainly not without some challenges along the way, but in the end, I think the time that we spent on this is very well worth it, and I think we have the right person for the job. So I wanted to, again, inform you of that. Last point, and if you have any questions, I can answer those later. Last point, while I was here tonight, Frank Krupa emailed me. He wants me to let everyone know that it looks like the closure of the CHA will be on or about May 4th. So we're in the last phase of the wind down now on the CHA, and he wanted me to advise you of that. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Joe. And many thanks to the search committee and for all your work and the staff and personnel, Jackie Thomas, as well as Steve Estes and Anita Fitzpatrick. Frank?
Yeah, thanks, Martha. Joe, first a serious comment, and then one that I hope you'll smile about.
Okay.
Based on this is regarding the highway appointment and the highway, regarding the public comment that was made, are you comfortable with how the personnel will accept?
I think ultimately, yes. I think in the interim, we have some work to do. I think the staff appreciated the fact that there was good management provided during the interim, and I would agree. In fact, I heard it said I admitted that management was good. I acknowledged from day one that the interim person was doing a great job, is continuing to do a great job. I do think, though, that in time, as relationships are developed and as people get to know Jeff Smith and understand that he, too, is a very good manager, has a lot of experience in it, I think they will, I think things will be fine.
The other comment, I hope he has a sense of humor, because like his namesake going to Washington, he will be coming to Tompkins.
I will tell you, it's legitimate. And I recall when Susan Curry came to town as the library director, there was an enthusiasm there that was infectious, and it continues today after several years in that appointment. All I can think of when I met Jeff and his family was the same kind of thing. He's going to come to Tompkins County with a lot of enthusiasm, and it's not an arrogant enthusiasm. It's a fairly humble enthusiasm after he's a seasoned manager, so he knows he has challenges, but he's looking forward to those. So I think we made an excellent choice.
Thank you. And thank you.
Okay, Carol?
Yeah, I wanted to add my thanks to you, Joe, for a successful search. You responded really well to the concerns of the program committee, F&I, where we spent a lot of time weighing in in a complex mix of skills and experience that we were hoping that you would look for, and I think you've gone out and found it. I mean, we're looking for a complex mix of technical skill, communication skill, administrative skill, external funding skill, and leadership. and you went out and found a whole room full of candidates that the search committee felt good about, and I think it was a very I would call it a unanimous decision, if not inches from, but a unanimous right. decision. I think I can say that. And
thank you.
And let us know what you need to do to help welcome Jeff here.
Julie?
I don't want to speak out of turn, so stop me if I shouldn't be saying any of this. But we all have known Cheryl Nelson for a very long time and are very appreciative of her go-between and administrative skills when we have not had a public works commissioner for a long time. But my recollection is that Cheryl actually retired and then came back as a more part-time employee. So even if she met the qualifications, I'm not sure she could take the job because of her retirement situation. And I don't want to talk out of turn about employee situations, but retirement does affect how much you can earn and therefore how many hours you can work. And that was not part of what the public heard about tonight, and I thought it was reasonable to share that, if that's okay. If I've said
And not to prolong this, but she could have asked the state to withhold pension, stop pension,
oh, okay.
and then the income limit is lifted.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thanks very much. Jonathan Wood, County Attorney.
No report.
All right, resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda.
Oh, yes. Please. Resolution D, which I was referred to a long time ago, I'd like to withdraw that for all the reasons stated earlier.
All right, thank you. I'll read the consent agenda. Anything else? Okay, I'll read the consent agenda. And then I might move things around again. Authorizing a public hearing on proposed local law number A of 2012.
Off.
Okay. Resolution B, supporting the efforts of Tompkins County to institute a favor, find, and assist vets of record program, and appointment of Sean Martel Moore, county staff representative to the WDIC committee. Motion on the consent agenda. Pat?
I think I didn't hear you very well. I wanted to ask to take the B off.
What?
I wanted to ask you to pull off B.
B, okay.
Yeah.
Then the consent agenda consists of the appointment of Sean Martel Moore. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Okay. Well, let me say then, I'm going to guess that Kevin is here for the budget resolution, and I'm not sure why Paul is here. Which one?
Executive session.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to go out and have a, come back in an hour or something like that. All right. Jim Dennis, Chair of the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, will you take up Resolution G so Kevin can go home?
Well, I don't really care if he goes home or not, but I will move it. I will move it revised as adopted by Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, the establishment of the 2013 county financial goal, and I would move that.
Kathy, was that a second?
Yes.
Okay, second by Kathy.
Revised version or anything?
Should have a single sheet revised in your packet?
Should be.
The numbers are?
Maintenance of effort budget that could be supported with a tax levy increase of 2.2%, and the legislature directs the county administrator to establish departmental and agency spending targets and develop, maintenance of effort level of spending, but shall not result in a tax levy increase in excess of 3.5 over the 2012 levy.
All right.
2.2, 3.5.
Right.
After much discussing, we arrived at these numbers. All of you realize, and I believe I said it yesterday, all of you realize that we've had three very difficult years in county government, We have made moves during that three-year period that have allowed us and administration to present a resolution like this to you at this time. We did not do things that spent down our fund balance. We have roughly 9% less employees than we had 3 years ago. And then one of Joe's numbers is 1 in 11 in that respect. We have made an effort to look at departments, have people doing different kinds of things. And to that aim, to that goal, there's been much discussion within departments about how we deploy our workforce. I think one of the most significant things that happened during this time was the restraint by, and clearly it's Joe's word, restraint of the employees in labor negotiations with us. We have a five-year contract, as you all know, that encompasses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And during that time, the employees could have given up, could have stopped negotiating with us. They did not, and we did not. And we arrived at what we have arrived at, and there is a significant dollar impact in that result. So I would hope that as we move forward tonight, we can approve this and move forward through the summer and fall budget process with our departments able to take somewhat of a rest. Some people have characterized it, we allow them to breathe. I think they've recognized the difficulties in the world, in the economic world that this government has been involved in, and they've responded as well as they possibly can. So I would hope that we can support this resolution with the numbers the way they are.
Thank you, Jim. Joe, I'd like to see if you'd like to make any comments, any introductory or whatever, anything.
I actually think Jim has captured kind of the spirit of this. It looks as if 2013 will be a period of stability, and it's largely, as Jim has said, we work for it. The decisions that this legislature have made over the past 3 years have been impossible decisions, very difficult. Department heads have done things that to tighten belts that are very difficult, and they did it without complaint. Employees have shown restraint. So all the things that Jim said, all I can do is amplify. But that has allowed us this what appears to be a relatively stable, not perfectly stable, but relatively stable situation in 2013. So with the 2.2%, departments will have essentially a maintenance of effort budget, which means that they can continue essentially in a status quo way, remembering they've already cut 9% of their roster. So it's not as if they're living large. They will live with great restraint for another year, but in kind of a status quo way. And then if you authorize moving the levy up to a maximum of 3.5%, we can look at filling some of the what we've called cracks and fissures that have been revealed over the past few years as we've cut deep. There's certain things that we need to do, we think, to be able to keep the organization and the community healthy. And that's what that additional latitude would do, allow us to look at OTRs, over target requests, for those that are the highest priority. So those are the basic bookends of the 2.2% and the 3.5% levy amounts.
Thank you very much, Joe. Kathy, Dooley, Jim.
Thank you. I just want to say why I supported this. This budget might not be as stringent as many of us would have hoped, and yet there's really no there's no denying that we are not ready to do a victory lap just yet. There's people that we heard from tonight that are living in poverty, and our social services are overwhelmed as they have been. I like this approach because we've used this approach before to allow our departments to plan for a maintenance of effort and to allow us the opportunity to plan for those eventualities that come up, whether it's a change in youth services law that means that we have to take a bunch of money out of contingency fund or something like that. I think that we have a lot of work ahead of us, and although some may see it as an opportunity to breathe, the public needs to know that our being able to take one deep breath is a result of department heads and staff working so hard and establishing for us the fact that they're willing to make these kinds of sacrifices. I just want the public to know that this isn't extravagant. And it's just, and I liked what you said about the cracks and fissures, and I do appreciate you sending me the PowerPoint. It's what allowed me to understand the context of this, even though I wasn't able to attend the budget retreat because of schedule problems. And I'd just like the opportunity to say how much I appreciate being informed of what happens at meetings that I'm not able to attend. You know, our meeting wizard and doodle things sometimes seem to set up situations where one person can't attend, and for some people the meeting is moved, and for some people it's not. So I apologize that I know that sometimes scheduling us is like herding cats, and I apologize that sometimes I'm not able to attend meetings, and also that sometimes I have to leave early because of obligations like sleep and health and things like that. So I'm going to be quiet now, but I just want to say that I'm supporting this. In years past, I might not have, but given what we've been through and what we may have to go through, I think this is a reasonable, solid, stable approach that we can be accountable for, given whatever the year presents to us.
I got Dooley, Jim, Leslin, and put myself in.
Thank you. I would ask if it would be a friendly addition to give in the resolved the name, quote, maintenance of effort, unquote, budget to what is being asked for the 2.2% tax levy increase. It's referred to in the whereases as a maintenance of effort budget, but I think it would be good to have those words appear in the resolved. Then when we talk about what the county administrator brings us back, he will call one of them maintenance of effort, and he'll call one of them recommended.
So, for example, if it would say develop a maintenance of effort 2013 budget?
The 2013, quote, maintenance of effort, unquote, budget.
Okay. Is that, Jim?
I mean, we've said it out loud. That's
yeah,
what it is.
But it's just, it's formalizing it, so we can legitimately call it something in August or whenever we see it. The other change I would like to see made in this is a change in the title to, say, a 2013 county financial guideline. The first whereas indicates that the county administrator asked us to establish a tax levy guideline. So I thought keeping the same word there would make sense, too.
I didn't write the titles. I believe we lifted from last year to get the title. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, frankly.
Guideline sounds like a really good word.
You like guidelines?
Yes, it's just me. Guidelines.
Are you suggesting I should agree to that?
Please.
Okay, I will.
Excuse me, is that instead of goal?
Yeah.
As it's reflected in the whereases. Well, that's what the whereas said, that's why.
That's not working for me, so it's not friendly to me.
Okay, so is that something we'd like to make as an amendment?
I forget. This is on the floor now. It's been moved and seconded. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, well, then I will make a formal motion to change the title goal to guideline in conformity with the first whereas.
Is there a second? Pam seconds that. Pat?
What does that mean? Does that mean something different than a goal?
It does to me.
Exactly. That's why I'm asking. So what does
that mean? A guideline is...
I understand.
A suggestion. A goal is often something more casting.
Exactly.
Well, that's my concern, exactly.
Well, but it's what the county administrator asked for, a guideline.
I have a question.
That's all.
And in that case, I'm going to vote against this.
Jim?
I'm sorry. I'm going to vote against it also.
We have always... use the word goal, not always. We have long used the word goal, and some people treat it as a guideline, and some people treat it as a marker they're really going to hit or really going to get under. I think wordsmithing the title is probably not going to affect how any of us actually treats it when we get around to voting on items for the budget. But that's been moved and seconded. Do we really have to discuss it, or maybe we can just vote on it? Let's vote on it. Let's vote on it, okay? All right. So all in favor of changing the title to say guideline instead of goal, please raise your hand. Three. Opposed? I sure hope that's 12. 12? Good. All right. So the title remains. Let's see. Jim, you were next.
I am. What I neglected to say, and, you know, I thought, well, I could say it then or at the end, that the good work County Administration Joe, Kevin, department heads did, and Kathy already said it, but clearly it was, you know, we don't do this, they do this, and they bring it to us, and it's an excellent job, and myself and the committee and the whole legislature really appreciates the effort that all of you make. Thank you.
Last one.
So although I'm fine with change, you know, we ought to be changing up stuff on folks. Over the years, we've set a goal of 3% or 4% or whatever it is, tax levy increase, and that has been it. I appreciate all the work and the blood, sweat, tears, you know, body parts on the floor that our department heads have dealt with over the last few years, our departments and agencies that we fund. And like the 2.2, which is, okay, let's give you some breathing room, I do not like the 3.5. And this is where it doesn't feel goalish anymore to me, because now I have two numbers I'm struggling with. So I feel terrible that I may have to vote against this because that second number is in there. We have, as legislators, you know, over the years, you know, sort of had over-target requests come our way. You know, we funded some, not funded some, et cetera, et cetera. We now have this piece in here that makes me uncomfortable because it's not a number that I would strive for at this point, partly because I'm also thinking that our taxpayers need some breathing room too. They need to take a breath as well, whatever that big breath is. So I don't want to do this and not take into consideration what's going on for our taxpayers as well, because they're the ones who foot the bill. And if we're going this high, Kevin did the numbers last night, I don't remember what it would mean on the tax rate from 2.2 to 3.5. I don't remember what they are right now, but for me it was significant. And so it's important for me to mention that, and to mention that I don't know that I can support this with those two numbers. I can certainly support 2.2, even 2.3 or 2.4, but I don't feel comfortable going to 3.5.
Glad to see Joe has the paper there.
Well, yeah, I can't respond with respect to tax rate because we won't know what the rate is until we get the tax base, and that's still in play. However, our estimate, given current, the 2012 tax base, is at a 2.2%. The owner of a $160,000 house, which is the average, the median, would see a $23 increase. And if that were increased to 3.5%, the homeowner would see a $37 increase. Mm-hmm. So it's about a $14 swing in those mm-hmm. two percentages.
Thank you.
Okay, it's my turn, and then I've got Brian, Peter, and Will. Listen, I was going to sort of... You're setting me up for what I was going to say anyway, which was that the 3.5 is not, and these are numbers that are going to be fully explained when the, you know, when we really have the budget. These are early numbers. The 3.5 is in no way anticipated to cover all the cracks and fissures, all the gaps. I mean, we've cut pretty hard, we've cut deep. And 3.5 kind of recognizes that we need, there were some things that we've really cut too deep, some things aren't working. And but that list of what things aren't working for the public, you should know that sort of the quick back of the envelope, filling those gaps got Joe to 4.4%. So almost a full point on the levy higher than what's recommended here. And this is just a sense to give, to allow us the flexibility. Joe will be collecting, you know, OTRs, and then he'll be making priorities among those, because we will not be able to fund all our OTRs. I'm certain of that. I'll remind you that last year, the final budget came in at 3.99, so almost 4. So the 3.5 is lower than last year. And I know, you know, taxes are taxes, and it adds up. But I think our public really cares about the service that we get. And there are a number of things that are real big holes that if we don't do something about them, things may really start to... We'll see the results in a bad way. So I think the 3.5 is a compromise between our first guess at the things that we really may need to put back and the 2.2. So I hope people will support that. We've got Brian, Peter, and Will.
Thanks. I assume I don't have to figure out what I'm going to do between now and 10 o'clock, so we'll leave that. I thought we had consensus last night with these numbers, but I mean, we can certainly talk about those. What I want to try to get across is with the next resolution authorizing the public hearing for possibly overriding. We've had some discussion in budget and a little bit of follow up that. When the press release goes out for this particular thing, assuming it stays in the same form that it is right now, that the adjusted tax limit, the adjusted cap, could or may be approaching around that. I just wanted to put that out. Joe, we had a discussion on this earlier. And I think that language is already being crafted for that, but I want people to understand that. And go ahead.
Yeah, I think the common understanding is the tax cap is 2%, and yep. There isn't a case where the tax cap has been 2%. There are adjustments that are granted that relate to pension costs, which are still going through the roof, and also real growth in property tax bases, and then there's lawsuits. If you recall, our cap last year was actually 2.9%, so the 2.2 is below that. It is conceivable that 3.5 may be within cap. We don't want to misrepresent or overrepresent, but it's conceivable with all these adjustments that get made that it could be within the cap.
Okay, and that's the point that I wanted to make sure that was at least out there and understood, as we've already discussed. So, thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Peter.
Well, it's conceivable, but. You know, there are many like myself who have not seen yet exactly what these trade-offs are, what the fissures are, and we're asked to vote on a number and to accept the fact that this is the right number without really knowing what it is which cracks we're filling and which cracks we aren't. Well, it's true that we don't know what the tax cap is. You know, if you had to make a guess, I think you would guess that it's probably going to be like what it was last year, which is namely something like 3%. So, and as we all know, whatever we put in here now represents only our thinking at this point now, and that our thinking may well change over the course of the budget negotiations as they did last year. We just didn't end up very close, I think, to what we thought in April. So I just wondered, I have some of the same sentiments as Leslin had, and I wonder if she has a number that she wants to propose as an amendment to change the number 3.5.
No, Peter, I did not have a number.
Okay.
Okay, Will and then Pam.
Well, I'm glad that we didn't do that, because I was actually attempting to actually offer a larger number. I did see those cracks and fissures, and as I began totaling up and thinking of some ones that hadn't been on the list, I realized that we still have some very, very difficult decisions to make, and we will be not funding things that we deeply care about, and that the amount of money involved in the difference between those levies is trivial compared to the good that it can do if we bond together and do it. That being said, I will support the range as long as the range goes to 3.5, and know that we have a lot of hard work ahead. The whole construct of a tax cap is a complete it's kind of an illusory concept, and it's a challenge to try to reference. But we all know that we have the responsibility of looking at our needs, the needs of the taxpayers we're attempting to serve, and living within a budget that makes sense with that. So, and it's getting late, so I'll pass.
If you will, Pam.
I'll pass.
Frank, then Dooley.
Yeah, as I look at this, I think we have to remind ourselves that the budget isn't final until we make it final, which usually takes place in the fall or November-ish. And as Peter often reminds us, we tweak the numbers time and again. And we haven't even heard from department heads or Joe officially or whatever. I'm viewing this as, even though Dooley's change was not successful, it's still a guideline. We're going into this with the understanding that we have to come up with some parameters so that the department and the agencies have a place to begin and give us some data. This is only May 1st. My suspicion is there will be some changes. So I'm perfectly happy to support this, just so we can give our departments a place to start putting information together.
Frank, I'm just going to disagree with one thing. I'm starting really to feel like May 2nd already.
Not yet. We have almost 3 hours.
Dooley?
I will not be supporting this because I think, in my mind, the maintenance of effort is actually probably 2.3% instead of 2.2%, which is a small, small difference. But I am aware of so many things that we cut, some of them really I thought were unwise. Many of them have just been extremely painful, and many of them need restoration for things people need and want. By people, I mean our residents, our tax-paying residents. So I would rather have the other end of the budget reflect the 4.4% that would address a limited list of what our county administrator had preliminarily given us as things that perhaps should be considered for restoration, because immediately I could think of additional ones. I just heard you say you thought of additional ones. So I am unhappy with both numbers, and so I'll have to vote against this guideline anyway. But I wanted to explain that was why.
All right. I'm ready to vote.
Madam Chair?
G, with one slight addition that Dooley made.
Can you say what that is again?
That we are asking Joe and staff to put together a establish departmental and agency spending targets and develop a 2013 maintenance of effort budget that can be supported with a 2.2% tax levy increase, and also to consider and include in his recommended budget over target requests, provided that that budget doesn't go over 3.5% over the 2012 levy.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Roll call, please.
All right, roll call.
Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
No.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Mankasy?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
13 ayes, 2 noes.
All right. Jim?
One comment. That was the easy part, now the hard part for those people. Thank you all very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Unless there's something else you're waiting for, Kevin. All right, we'll come back to budget. Let's give Jim a break and go to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Kathy, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Okay. We have a regular committee meeting this Friday, March 4th. That is at 9:45. And then we have an additional activity this month on Thursday, March 3rd. That's this Thursday. There is the opportunity. Our staff will be leading us on a tour of the Pine Tree Road area and project. We will be seeing the, you know, along Pine Tree Road, the options for the path, the route of the bridge, potential bridge. We will go around the corner up Maple Avenue to look down. It's a very difficult terrain in that area, so we will be looking at the terrain from the top and the bottom, and we will be looking at the area, the other side of the bridge, the 366 side of the bridge, to see what the path would look like on that side. We are meeting. Please note this, because it may be different than what you saw in earlier emails, anybody who is coming, at the PNC parking lot at 10:30 in the morning. Our staff will have a van. We will be meeting at the corner of the parking lot that is closest to the traffic light, sort of over towards the gas station there. F&I members are invited. I understand Joe and Martha are going to try to join us. Anybody else who would like to join us, we're happy to have you do so. Staff would like to know how many we're planning for. They're going to have bright colored vests for us, so because it's dangerous to be going under that bridge and getting out. So please let me know. What?
Can you say again when that is?
This is Thursday. Did I say March? It's a May. Did I say March for both of them? Our meetings are May 4th on Friday at 9:45. The tour is Thursday, May 3rd, this Thursday, at 10:30.
Are you going to have a flagger if you're walking around under that bridge?
Staff is arranging whatever they need to do for our safety,
good,
which is why they have asked us to let them know how many people are coming. So
do
people want to let me know? Joe know? Joe, how shall we do this?
Me. Outside the
let
meeting.
Joe know
outside
the meeting if you are planning to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
And then watch in May. There will be a public meeting about Pine Tree Road sometime. We're aiming for sometime in the week of May 14th or the 21st. That will be somewhere up where residents of that area can come easily.
Thank you, Carol. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We did have a meeting on April 18th, and thanks to Ed Marks, we began a update review of our 20-year capital plan. The issues that we really face there are not only what items are on the capital plan, what are the status of them, what's coming in, what's coming off, what's being paid off, what might be added to the plan, but also how we're going to pay for it. We've had an old plan to have a 1% of our tax levy increase to go toward capital projects. We don't know whether that is sustainable or not. We're going to look at next time some different options there, including maybe not having a particular percent goal, or maybe having a smaller percentage with a level increase. Stay tuned. We'll be reporting back on that once we've given it some more discussion. The Human Services project is progressing. with the construction documents. We hope to have them done in a couple of weeks. Arella Merrill talked to us about that. And Martha has designated the Capital Plan Review Committee to award the contract when that comes through. On the legislature relocation project, the Holtz began scoping the project. That's our architects. The difficult things we know are going to be lighting, acoustics, and the historic treatment of the building. Arell reminded us that the capital project here is going to be not only the relocation to the of this legislature to the old courthouse, but also the refitting of this room for a Supreme Court courtroom. And at this point, the costs of the architects have been coming out of the facilities budget, but we will be having to address that and have that become part of the eventual total capital project. We're talking a little bit about the COFA space and whether or not the family treatment court program could be moved into there. That's been suggested by at least one of the county judges. Arell will be discussing that with the state people.
You mean in this building?
In the COFA, yes. The COFA room on the basement, which we will be vacating, whether or not we could possibly use that for some of the program that's in the old library.
Stay tuned on that one. Yeah, I don't want people to be thinking carpet bazaar.
Thanks for clarifying. Also, Joe reported to us about investigating the cable television hookup that's going to be necessary for the old courthouse. Possibly, it can be done with a fiber system. It may cost approximately $25,000. Joe is hopeful that there may be some grant money out there. We'll stay tuned on that. In addition to the TV broadcast, we're looking at opportunities to also be able to have live streaming on the Internet simultaneously.
All set? Any questions for Mike? All right. Thank you very much. Government Operations Committee, Dooley Kiefer, Chair.
I think there were two resolutions pulled off of consent.
Yeah, A and B.
Shall I deal with those first?
Sure.
Resolution A is authorizing a public hearing on proposed local law A of 2012, opt out of Section 487 of the New York State Real Property Tax Law. I move it.
Is there a second? Second by Jim. Questions?
What's up? Kathy? Thanks. I got an inquiry before this meeting from someone asking if this means that exemptions for residential projects would cease to exist if we opted out. And I may have misunderstood, because in the explanation you gave before the meeting, you seem to imply that they would during this time period. Do I misunderstand? Because what I told her was it would allow us to evaluate commercial projects on a case-by-case basis, but it wouldn't affect the exemptions that are already granted to residential projects. Am I half right?
Yeah, half right. Okay.
As I understand it, no exemptions have been granted for residential because they haven't been needed, because the residential properties have not been shown to sell for higher amounts due to the presence of these renewable energy.
90% right.
So when we, assuming we pass this opt-out, it affects everything, residential, commercial, industrial, whatever. But the intention behind this opt-out is to allow us to participate in discussions with the Enfield Black Oak Wind Farm through the IDA as equal partners with the school district and the town of Enfield, because those taxing jurisdictions have already opted out. We need to take this action before construction begins on this large-scale Enfield wind farm. Once construction has begun on that, it's my intention to bring back to the committee and opt back in, which will then include everybody again.
So my follow-up, just to clarify for me, is that essentially if it should come to pass that residential solar panel projects would increase the value of the home, that would be when it would be more important to deal with an exemption, and as yet, that's not our situation.
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Dooley, can you tell me whether when this was first passed, what the thinking was to lump commercial and residential together?
I'm not sure they thought about it. I think they just wanted to encourage everybody to build renewable systems.
Okay. Carol?
Yeah, I would like to have clearer in here what we're doing, because clearly the public doesn't understand it, nor would I if I looked at the way this is written. So I'm going to suggest two changes. I'm going to suggest them one at a time.
Are you on packet page 6, the local law itself?
I am on, no, I'm actually just in our resolution.
Well, that's not what's going to be published in the paper.
The resolution is a public hearing resolution.
I understand that.
The longer resolution, which
right.
went through committee,
right.
included more language and an explanation of what I've just tried to summarize tonight, and I am sorry that somehow was not part of the agenda packet.
Well,
but
I was
I'm happy
suggest,
to hear your suggestions.
Can I tell you what I was going to suggest and then see if it's more appropriate to put it in our resolution and or adapt it for the law itself? I was just going to suggest adding on line 10 there, where we're establishing a public hearing concerning the proposed local law number A of 2012, opt-out of section 487 of the New York State Real Property Tax Law, and I would add, regarding assessment of local property tax, regarding assessment for local property tax purposes related to construction of solar, wind, or farm waste energy systems, period, was one. And then add a sentence, changes to this law will not address federal or state tax exemptions or credits. So those were the two pieces of information that I think the public is getting, and I was confused about.
I don't see any harm in that language. I don't think it addresses what I heard people being concerned about. People were concerned about their local home solar panels, and that doesn't address that. But if there's nothing wrong, as far as I'm concerned, with adding that language.
So is that friendly? You moved it, is that right?
It's fine with me. Did someone second something?
Who seconded it?
I'll second it. Oh.
Jim, second. Is that okay with you, Jim?
I didn't second.
No, I'm not.
What?
Somebody seconded it.
I didn't second it.
Who seconded this motion?
It's a public hearing. Why are we doing this?
We think Jim seconded the public hearing motion.
I think he did.
You want me to read it again?
That's
what we're talking about. Carol wants to add some language
right.
to...
And,
which I can't read it again.
How do you add language to a public hearing you haven't had?
No, to the notice, to the description of the purpose of the hearing.
What the hearing... I want to just add some description about what the hearing is about. Right now, it just refers to the fact that we're going to have a hearing about a law number.
I just looked like I'm not paying attention. Okay. I know what you're trying to do.
Do you want me to read
it? Is that... No, don't read it. Is that friendly?
I think it's harmless and possibly helpful. So.
Okay.
I followed Julie's lead twice today, and I'm 0 for 2, but I'll do it. Okay.
And then I would just like to add to have it put in the minutes, to have a note in the minutes, whatever the right way to ask for this is, that... to the effect of Dooley's explanation at the beginning of the meeting as to what this is, that actually be in our minutes that get publicize, and that we ask also a note in the minutes asking for some press about what this is all about and how it does or doesn't affect people. And I think this is what I'm hearing. I've heard from people as well. I got three calls today that people concerned that they would lose their federal and state tax exemptions if we do this.
Okay. Got it. Because I'm going to be on the radio in about a half an hour, so I'll be start the press.
Hey, I'll be at work a half an hour before you get on the radio. So.
Brian and Frank.
Can I call the question on the public hearing?
Yes. So the question is, motion to call the question. Is there a second? Seconded by Pat. All in favor of calling the question with that addition? Calling the question on the public hearing notice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Opposed? 2 opposed. 12 to 2. Mike is out of the room. All right, time to vote on the Resolution A. All in favor of Resolution A, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. Julie, go to B.
Resolution B. Supporting the efforts of Tompkins County to institute an FAVOR program. I move it.
Second.
Second by Frank. All right. Pat, you pulled it off.
I'd just like to acknowledge the work that was done by our county clerk, Aurora Valenti, to ensure that the language in this resolution is inclusive of any service members who may have been separated from service by the application of the Don't Ask, the regulation known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So that if there's any member of the public out there listening who either themselves was separated because of that regulation or knows somebody who was, I'd like to assure them that this benefit, this card that we will be creating and providing for vets so that they can get discounts where they're available, will also be available to those service members.
Thank you, Pat. Leslie?
I'm really thrilled to see this, but I'm also very interested in finding out what would be the process for getting this set up. And I think I had a question of... Never mind.
You mean how the cards get set up or is that how somebody applies?
Never mind.
Okay. Anything else?
A small additional piece of information. There is similar legislation moving at the state level, but we do not know at this point whether they have grappled with the same topic that Pat just summarized we have grappled with locally.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of where I am. I start thinking about how... what kind of process will be in place so that those members of our armed forces, the veterans who have had to deal with issues of don't ask, don't tell, or deal with all the issues of discrimination or the diversity issues, what kind of process will we have in place to make sure that they aren't more barriers? And I know we'll do our best to make sure those things aren't in place, but I'm just curious and would love to here at some point. I don't know if it's at the committee, how that will work. I know people who don't have their military discharge papers anymore. They don't know where to find them. And is that something that will be required, for example, for you to show up with to get that? You know what I mean? Am I making sense?
I don't know, but it's the kind of thing, certainly, that our county clerk would go out of her way to help you with.
Right.
And if it happens at the state level, instead of a separate ID card, it would be on a driver's license if you have a driver's
license.
That
is very important information.
But who it will cover, I don't know.
We don't know.
All right, are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution B, please raise your hand.
Aye. Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you. And we have C.
Moving right along, Resolution C, which the title of which says, Interest in Exploring the Possibility of Forming a Consortium of Municipalities to Negotiate on the Renewal of Its Franchise Agreements with Time Warner Cable. And I move that and hope that someone will fix the title.
Second by Mike. So how should the title be fixed?
Well, it could say, we're interested in exploring the formation of the consortium instead of just the possibility. It should be shortened.
Is that okay, Mike?
Yes.
All right. It's done. Any discussion on this?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
And instead of it, it should say there because it's a group of municipalities. It's just grammar.
He did. He said that.
Okay, and it's going to be there instead of it. Jim?
I find it curious that we're exploring the possibility, and then the last resolve, we don't like it, we're bailing on it. I mean...
Mike?
We are trying to encourage TCOG, our Coffin County Council of Governments, in this process. Most of the other municipalities, or all of them, have cable franchise agreements. Our county does not have one. Whether we adopt a resolution like this, we won't be negotiating. We had to massage the resolution that's going through all of the other municipalities where they talk about negotiating franchise agreements. So there's a little wording questions here, a little different because we don't have a franchise. But they ask us to do this to show our support with this process they want to go through and eventually, hopefully, have a model franchise agreement.
Kathy?
So I just need to ask, what are the, I'm guessing there's two, that there's dual purposes. One would be cost savings and the other would be to get us some service clout that we don't have that comes from numbers?
That's the idea, the strength in numbers to try to negotiate. One of the common things in the rural areas is trying to get more coverage. There are a lot of people in the rural areas that have no cable TV cable service. We've seen that in the broadband committee where they're looking at Time Warner's coverage. So that's just one of the areas they'd like to do it. The city has more interest in things like cable access, always has. Mm-hmm. City hasn't yet decided to join this group, but we hope they will feel welcome.
Thank you.
Jim Carroll Frank.
I have not followed the law recently, but do towns still have the ability to, you know what I'm going to say, negotiate rates?
No.
Okay.
No, we're doing this in support of TCOG. It's not our...
I hear you.
I'm going to ask that everybody look at the clock. And if this is a really important point or question, then have your hand up. And if this can be deferred or ask offline or it doesn't really matter, let's please respect your colleagues and not raise your point, okay? That's a general matter. I'm not saying there's not any one person here. These are all important things. This is just a big, big agenda, and we have a lot more to do tonight. Okay, I've got Carol and then Frank.
Yeah, I'd just like to suggest that line 28 just be changed to agree with the title.
Yes.
Explore the formation of...
Exploring the formation of a consortium. Okay, Frank?
Julie, is the county expected to take the lead on this, not only the exploration, but also the initiation? And if so, is there a cost to the county once again for supporting the Council of Governments?
I don't think there's a cost to the county, but Mike Lane is our designated representative, and he should answer your question.
There's been no cost proposed at this point, and I don't think they're looking for the county to do this, since we don't have franchise fees. Most of the other municipalities do, and there is some money left over from the last go-around of cable franchise negotiations.
So we're not expecting, I just want to make it clear that TCOG is not expecting us to assign a staff person to assist them in some way as an indirect cost.
Only we've had our board offices facilitated setting up meetings. Michelle's been working with that. But as far as anything beyond that, no. They haven't been taking minutes, for one thing.
Thank you.
Ready to vote on C? All in favor, please raise your hand. That's unanimous. All right, thank you. And Julie, I am delighted that D is off.
Yes, well, we're really looking forward to the next committee meeting.
Is there anything else?
I have wanted to just say that our next meeting is Friday, May 11th at 9:30 in the morning. We will be dealing also with redistricting recommendation from our redistricting commission, which has acted on the city's recommendation. So we need to act on that at our next meeting in order to give direction to our IT department, which will undertake the detailed description of the property lines involved. And I want to take this opportunity to remind everybody that you've got to get your financial disclosure forms in by the 15th of this month. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Frank?
Yeah, Julie, just as a request regarding Resolution A, could you see that a copy of that be sent to the Ag and Farmland Protection Board because of the reference in there to farm waste operations?
Yes, I will hope our staff will do that, but I would ask them to include the more detailed information that was in the original committee packet that explains opting in and opting out.
Okay.
And you're right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Julie. Plan and Development Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So our next meeting is tomorrow at 3:30. If this meeting comes much longer, we shouldn't even have to go home. But we're going to be dealing with a lot of things, and just a few of them. We're going to be hearing a report from Michael Stamm talking about a proposal for a new revenue model. We're going to be considering hearing a report on the county's tourism plan. And we're also going to be considering a local law that would give us a new tool in terms of controlling hydrilla, at least in terms of making it required that you clean off boats and watercraft when removing them from bodies. And I assume that will go on to public safety. So if you have any interest in that, please, by all means, come and see us. And I'm also going to send out an email to you all about a thing that's happening at the state level, a state law that would control invasive species. And it went through the Assembly, and it's right now in the Senate. My report.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Will. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. I will defer a more complete report until a future meeting, but I would like to announce two meetings that we have coming up. We have decided to have a special meeting in addition to our regular meeting the fourth Monday of the month. We're also going to be meeting Tuesday, May 8th at 5:30 up at the up on Brown Road at the Health Department Rice Conference Room. And that meeting will be from 5:30 to 8 o'clock. For any of you who would like to attend, that's an open meeting. And then on May 9th, on Wednesday, will be the last of our community forums. That will take place out in Newfield, and it's especially for people out in that Newfield and Enfield direction. But anybody that would like to come is welcome to come to that as well. Thank you.
And time and place?
7 o'clock at the Newfield Town Hall.
Thank you very much, Pat. Mm-hmm. Great. Budget, Capital, Personnel. Jim, we still have a couple more goodies.
Thank you. First item, item E, the ratification of the bargaining agreement between CSEA Blue Collar Unit, Civil Service Employees Association, Local 855, AFSCME, and Tompkins County, and I would move that.
Seconded by Brian. Discussion? Ready to vote. Short roll call on this one. No, it's not. Just kidding. All right. All in favor of Resolution E, please raise your hand. All right. Opposed? Dave, I don't believe you voted.
Four.
You four. Okay. Didn't see that. That's unanimous.
Thank you for that. That's important.
Julie?
I would ask that the explanation become part of our minutes. Not part of the resolution, but part of the minutes.
Okay.
Item F, authorizing the use of contingency fund to support the cost of negotiating services for road patrol negotiations, and I would move that.
Seconded by Pat.
And the amount is $25,000.
All right. Dooley.
Jim, could we add the location of the law firm, Albany, New York, to the first whereas?
Yes. Romer, Wallens, Gold, Minow of Albany, New York.
Thank you.
Okay, Pat. All right. Any discussion? This is a short form roll call.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous. Thank you. Let's see. We did G. H.
You ready? Item H. Authorizing the public hearing on proposed local law number B of 2012, a local law overriding a tax levy limit for 2012. And I would move that.
Seconded by Mike. Frank.
Yeah. In the same spirit as Carol asked about the 487 one, I would urge that Marcia do a news release explaining this one in as particular language as you possibly can, because I think this could create some confusion. Thank you.
We will try to manage the news as best we can.
What did you say? Orchestrate the news?
Manage.
Oh, manage.
Well, since Marcia's really the opposite of outsourced. She's an insourced reporter for the Ithaca Journal, as a matter of fact.
Martha's going to be on in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's get there so she can go on.
No problem.
All right. And remembering that this, we probably won't have real information on the state set cap until August or September.
That's what I think ought to be in that news release.
Okay. Kathy?
So why are we passing this now?
Jim?
I'm sorry?
Why are we passing this now?
We're doing this now because the committee believes that this is one of the tools in our toolbox that we may need as we move through the whole process. Last year we did it at the end, and it met with hardly any objection, and my sense is this year it should be a part of the process as we move through. It doesn't say that we will have to use it, but we should have it available.
I would support this possibly at a later time, but I'm not going to support this tonight.
Okay.
It's just a public hearing.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Peter?
I did not hear what Kathy Lewis had to say. Could you repeat what you said?
I would possibly support this at a later time, but I won't support this tonight.
I have a question.
Use the mic, please.
Did you hear me?
Use the mic.
I'd like to ask the attorney, if we defeat this now, can it be raised later or not?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Really?
Well, I think, you know, we're here. I think we should just pass it and move on. I think it would allow our staff to plan. I mean, we don't know what the arbitrary limits that the state is going to set will be. You know, our process is so much earlier than the rest of the state, and for good reason. It's a thorough comprehensive process that involves department heads and staff and lots and lots and lots of time for the public to be involved. I'm in support of this just to get it out there and get it done, and our staff can do all the work that they have to do. Dooley, and then Frank, and Kathy.
I think that whether we act on it now or later, the reason for acting on it isn't going to change. It's to protect ourselves. If we do a calculation of what the limit is, and then the state tells us they later recalculate and we somehow got it wrong, we have protected ourselves by saying we want to be free to override the cap. And that will be true no matter what we learn or when we learn it. So it's just a preventive medicine. It's one less thing to worry about. So I'll support it.
Frank and Kathy.
Thanks, Martha. Could Dooley, just to pick up on what you just said, is it possible in time for the public hearing to have some advice from either Joe or Jonathan on how late we, if some don't want to support this at the public hearing, or we decide, some decide not to vote in favor of it, could we then know your best guess as to how late in the process we could pass something like that? Just so that there's food for thought?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jim?
If I remember, we needed 30 days advance at least, yeah, because it had to be filed with the Secretary of State, and we were not bumped up against the limit last year, but we were fairly close. And I think what I've learned from reading our little website from NYSAC, that counties that waited till later and kind of got caught up in things have made it a part of their budget process. They've already been out with this and passed it, and they haven't even started their budget process like we have. They will not start until September. I think it's a prudent move.
All right, Kathy, then Carol.
Well, since I kind of started this, I'll explain my concerns. In the same way that guidelines, to me, signal a lessening of, paying attention, I just feel that saying right now, when we really don't need to say this until August, that we're willing to override the tax cap is, to me, allowing ourselves the notion that this is really the tax cap for us is just a guideline, it's not a goal. And for me, I believe that we should try to hold ourselves within whatever prudent limits we can, and to set this up early gives us a lot more possibility for raising the tax levy more than some of us would feel comfortable doing it. So for myself, I think it shows restraint to wait, and that's why I'm not going to support this setting of the public hearing tonight. I think it should wait till later.
Carol? Yeah, I see these as totally separate questions. We may choose to set a tax rate that falls well within what the governor happens to have dictated as a tax cap, but people are elected to serve at the state level in the Assembly and the Senate to look at the state level budget. And we are elected at the local level to look at and spend our taxpayers' money. And I think that the governor has overstepped his bounds. We have a separation of levels of government in this country purposely to address the questions of local versus state versus national needs. And I think it's our responsibility. I think he's overstepped his bounds. And to me, these are totally separate questions, what rate we will set and the fact that we would like to have a hearing and then declare that what arbitrary state limit that the governor has set is not the appropriate place to decide what our local rate should be. So I will support this now and at any time.
Maybe I'm missing something. We passed a resolution which established a goal, and in the same evening, we're then going to defeat a resolution just authorizing a public hearing That's all we're doing is a public hearing. It's not a resolution to exceed. But we've got to hear from folks first. I can't imagine somebody sitting out there going, wait a minute, they just established a goal and they don't even want to hear from us?
Mike and then Peter.
I'd like to call the question, please.
Is there a second for that? Second by Will. All in favor? Only question on this one? Opposed? One opposed. 14-1.
I'll do my usual.
Okay. 13-2. Peter and Carol. All right. Resolution H on the public hearing. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed to 2. That passes. All right. Thank you, Jim. Anything else?
Let me just say one more thing. The next meeting, I believe, is May 29th, right, Michelle? Because we're 28 is a holiday. And the 25-year club is meeting on May 17, 2012, at Lake Watch Inn. There are roughly 20 employees. It would be very nice if some legislators dropped $15 on it and gone up there and hobnobbed with the 25-year vets if they could. May 17th. I believe everyone got one in their mailbox. It's at East Shore Drive, social hour 5 until 6 and dinner at 6. $15.
Yeah, and
great.
The staff and their families are there, retirees are there. Yeah. It's really a very special occasion, and they really appreciate when legislators are there.
The county administrator breaks a new material every year at that time.
He's going to watch the Obama speech from
and
this
that
weekend.
My report.
Let me
just say thank you very much for supporting very critical resolutions this month. And, I know what kind of pain went into a lot of them, and thanks a lot for doing that. I appreciate that. So do all the other people.
Thank you, Jim. All right, Peter Stein, Public Safety Committee report. You have one resolution.
A brief report. We're having our meeting at 11 o'clock tomorrow, please God. We don't end now. I'm not sure we'll have that meeting at 11 o'clock. You help me. We've got some real problems in public safety.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, but I think I'll just say a word about them now. Everybody else reports on their committee.
Okay.
I don't really see why I shouldn't.
Go ahead.
Go, Peter. Anyway, they are serious problems. I guess I'm not sure that everyone realizes this, but we are facing a smaller jail by about three cells because the corrections department has been here and decided that we should no longer have the full variance that we've had in the past. Every cell, I think, costs us like $30,000. Every cell that's taken away from us costs us something like $30,000 a year because that person has to be boarded out. In addition, we've had a big uptick in number of people who are sent to the jail, and our board outs are now very high compared to what they've been in the past. It's a lot of money. And it's not clear that there's anything we can do about that, but we are trying. So that's my report.
Now, I understand we do not yet have documentation of the change in the variances. There's nothing on paper yet.
That's correct, but that's what we're told that we can expect.
Julie?
Did
they give a reason?
What?
Yes, they gave a reason.
As I understand it, and this is secondhand, I wasn't there to hear them, so I'm not quoting them, but they said something like, we never said that this is going to be a permanent variance, and that we've given you 12 years or something like that, and there doesn't seem to be any progress. I think we all ought to understand that this is one of those things when there's a trade-off, and the trade-off here is for us is that we have to pay less for the prisoners, that they have a somewhat less environment than is considered an appropriate environment for prisoners in jail. So it's, I don't think we should, I think we ought to keep that in mind all the time, that the variance means that people are more crowded in the jail in Tompkins County than they are in other counties that don't have a variance. So it's not just a win-win situation we're talking about. And, okay, oh, yes, there's a resolution here. Resolution J, appropriation from the contingent fund, terminal pay, Department of Probation and Community Justice. Looks to me like it's the usual resolution when that situation happens.
Second by Leslin. Any questions? Short form roll call.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous. Thank you, Peter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslin Leeping, Claiborne Chair.
I'd like to thank Joe for giving the Workforce Diversity Committee meeting report during his report. I hope you remembered what he said, because that was it.
Yeah.
We met. The climate survey Jay reported on, continuing. This one is Friday. I don't want to repeat that. And we also... again, continued your discussion on disability accommodations and access within county government. And we have a subgroup that's going to be working on it, looking at some of other practices that a lot of municipalities have been engaged in and a lot of government entities, so that we can begin to segment the pieces and bring things to this body for consideration. And we also did very briefly mention that we will be, we didn't have a chance to look at it. We did have the corporate personhood resolution. We didn't have a chance to deal with it, but we hope to, as a committee, be looking at it, of course, with a diversity perspective or some lens around diversity. So that will be in our next meeting. And that's my report, unless all the people remember things that happened.
All right, any questions? You can ask me that. I don't remember when our next meeting is.
You'll hear it at the next meeting.
Right. It's the last week of May. Thank you, Leslin. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to pick up on a couple of things that Joe mentioned. First, the CHA. It's true that we continue aiming towards the 4th for the final closure. Just to let you know that the transition of the patients into the community and other facilities is going quite well. Remember, there were about 23 patients that were still associated with the health department, and they're being placed rather aggressively through the other facilities that are available. So that's going pretty well. I did receive a report that I shared with Joe last night because I just received it. As of Friday, this past Friday, I have a list of all of the organizations that have applied for licensing throughout New York State. And some of them are within contiguous counties, but there are two or three that have applied for in one case, statewide, a license to operate statewide in every county. Two of them, I believe, in 30 counties, and then it dribbles off from there. So we still don't know who might get selected. However, as if this wasn't enough, and I think the report was 6 or 7 pages long, there's quite a few organizations that have applied. They've extended the time to receive applications until July. After all of the stress that everybody went through to get the applications in, the time limit has been extended. So, yeah, Joe hasn't had, as of last night, I just handed it to him, so he hasn't really had a chance to digest it, but maybe we'll put our heads together with Frank. I haven't shown him this, but he may have access to another source. Shifting gears, the rec partnership agreements are out to the towns. I know that there's been reports for the renewals of those, and in your appropriate townships, you may hear something about that. We all have grievance days coming up, And believe it or not, you may hear something about it when you're meeting with your counterparts with regard to the taxes. Mental Health Commissioner, we gave a final recommendation to Joe. The search committee did. Will and I were your representatives on that committee. And we had, others as well, of course, but we would the two elected officials that were on. And I believe there'll be a recommendation coming from Joe at the next legislative meeting. Lastly, under Pam's guidance, we set up a meeting with our counterparts in the city to review the errant smoke issue. Errant. And we'll be addressing that. But I want to add a personal tag to that. And I mentioned it to Martha already. As government, A, we don't always move swiftly. And B, we can't do everything everybody wants us to. And frankly, I wanted to express a little bit of concern that there are certain individuals, and I realize the situation is stressressful to the neighborhood and also to the individuals. But I wanted you to know that I'm a little bit concerned that some of our staff, particularly the health department staff, is really taking it on the chin. Because, in my opinion, they've done what we have asked them to do, and we've given them constraints on only because it's within the limits of what they can do. And there are some folks that are not happy with that. Well, thanks to Pam, we're able to meet with our colleagues in the city. That'll be coming up here in another week, within the week, Friday.
The one day that I couldn't make.
But that was a date, as I understand it, that the city folks more or less... Well, anyway, that's the date that was settled on.
That was the only date that...
That
that I couldn't make.
But we hope to have some direction, and I'll get in touch with the folks that you mentioned to me, Martha, and see what we can do. Next meeting is the 8th of May. You're all welcome as members of the group, and I have one resolution.
Kathy? I have a comment, but I'll save it.
Good. All right, go ahead.
Oh, wait, Kay. There is one other item. I forgot to mention the luncheon for the Office for the Aging is coming up on the 24th at noon. You should have all received a notification in your mailboxes for that. You have to get a hold of Lisa in order to participate. Resolution K, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay, health department, and I'll move that.
Second by Leslie. Discussion? Short form roll call.
Mr. Bourbon?
Yes.
Mr. Stein?
Yes.
Anyone who wishes to be recorded as no? All right, that's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
You
we
bet.
Have we minutes of two meetings?
I'll move them both.
Wait, could we separate them?
Yeah.
All right, so let's do February 21st as the executive session, and if these are approved, they will be sent into, folded into the other rest of the minutes in that meeting. So is that Pam, you're moving February 21st?
Sure.
Seconded by Frank. All right.
Question.
Yes, Carol.
I don't get packet page 20. It doesn't seem like this meeting was ever called to order. And then on page 22, it was never adjourned. And it's a blank page.
Yeah, Kathy, do you want to explain? This is the...
It's just the portion of the meeting that was held in executive session on February 21st.
We said the rest of it?
Yeah, the rest of the minutes we passed previous meeting.
So when it shows up on the website, it will show the time?
Yes.
It'll show the time that was adjourned as well as the time that...
This section of the minutes will be incorporated into the minutes that have already been approved.
The confusion here, this is because it was the decision to close the CHA, and we didn't want it...
We were holding that information back until clients had been had each been contacted.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
All in favor of this session of the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Dooley's opposed. One opposed. 14-1. Right, 14-1. Motion on April 17th minutes. Moved by Frank, seconded by... Oh, somebody has energy to raise their hand.
Second.
Seconded by Will. Comments? Pam?
Yes, I would like to I add in the comments that I made at that meeting. I have them written down. I evidently put them in the notes for the minute, and I'd actually like them in the official minutes.
That distinguishes youth award.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So without objection by Frank and Will, sure. That's okay?
Yeah,
okay.
As long as Jim's okay with it, because you're sharing the awards now, right?
With that change, all in favor of the April 17th minutes?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you all very much. Can I get a motion? Well, after a five-minute recess, I'd like to go into executive session to discuss a personnel issue. So let me get a motion to go into executive session.
A particular person?
Yes. Yes. Moved by Dave, seconded by Pat. All in favor going to executive session? Opposed? All right. Thank you. We're in executive session. Come back to your seats in 5 minutes, please. Hey, Frank.